Welcome to LifePoint Church. Our mission is to glorify God and make gospel-driven disciples by engaging people in the unexpected joy of a life more and more dependent on Jesus.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
Today's a special Sunday. We get to dive into some stories, some testimonies of how God has been at work in people who are a part of our faith family here at LifePoint. You know, these passages that we just had read, they're remarkable passages. They're foundational passages. And part of the reason we have testimony days like this as part of how we gather for worship is because sometimes it's really helpful to see how God has been faithful and how these passages like this that are foundational, how they're carried out in the lives of other people so we can see how God may be working in our own lives. You know, these two remarkable passages of Scripture are very well known. If you've been around the church much, you've probably seen these Scriptures before or heard them. You know, this passage from Matthew, Jesus' well-known sermon, invites us to lay aside anxiety and the fear that it produces, specifically when it looks like we may not have all that we need. He was preaching to a whole gathering of people who were living under oppression, and many of them had physical need, had struggles, and Jesus was inviting them to trust God and set aside fear and anxiety that everything that they needed would be covered by God. And then the other passage is a verse from Paul's famous letter to the Romans, affirming that no matter the circumstances we encounter in this life, when we follow Jesus, when we've given our lives to walk with him whose faithfulness and steadfast love never leaves us, we can always count on God doing something good, even in the midst of something terrible. Amen. It's so beautiful. It's so good. And, you know, we don't necessarily, from these passages, get the idea that God will always do what we want in this life, but we can trust his faithfulness when things seem to have gone bad, even impossibly bad. And today, I'm really grateful that we get to hear a story of how God is working, a story. I keep using that word. Really, it's a testimony. This is not a made-up story. This is reality of how God has worked through some circumstances that were tragic and remarkably difficult in the life of a friend of mine and a neighbor of mine and a fellow brother who's been worshiping with us for some time this year. And so I want to invite Andy Klusman to come on up here, and we're going to hear some of his story. Andy has experienced God's provision and grace in the midst of tragedy and unimaginable loss, And we get to hear some of that story. So Andy, here you go. Come on up. You can welcome Andy up here. Thank you for joining us today. And Andy, I got a picture of Andy and his wife here in their backyard. If you want to go to the next, there we go. There's JJ with you. Andy, you can see it back there behind us here. And they're standing in front of the dude. That's the tree there. And if you walk on the path behind my house, every kid knows the dude. They know your yard. It's right by the park. And it's a cool part. We'll hear more about that in a little bit. But Andy, you know, you've described yourself as somebody who's been a Christian. You've known God for quite some time, but your faith in your life, it looked really different before the accident back in 2004. Could you tell us a little bit? Introduce us to Andy Klusman from before 2004 when everything in your life changed.
Blessed with height and coordination, sports was my thing. Played basketball and volleyball in high school. On the West Coast, they had boys volleyball. And I actually got a scholarship to play volleyball in college. I played volleyball at UCLA, which during which time I won 3 national championships. But, so it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and that's always been my identity, the tall, coordinated guy. And I got a job out here coaching volleyball with Coach Hilbert as the second assistant coach. And at the time, we were the best sports team on campus, so it was really fun to be a part of a team that wins every year. We go to the tournament every year. We win the conference championship every year. I was living the dream, really. I had 2 beautiful kids, 2 boys, a great wife, a great house, and a great community, so I really didn't want for anything.
Yeah, you had it all. I mean, that's kind of how you describe it.
I thought I had it all.
Uh-huh, yeah. And, I mean, this guy, he played volleyball in 13 different countries professionally after college. Yes, sir. You've always been one of those people who's yeah, kind of at the top of everything. Smart, like you said, athletic, coordinated, and, you know that was your life. Tell me, what was your relationship like with Jesus during this time of your life?
It reminds me a lot of what we've been talking about, what the pastors have been talking about, that when things are going good, we kind of sometimes forget about God. And we take things for granted, and it's really in the times of tragedy and panic is when all of a sudden we need Him. So even though I was a Christian and I believed in God, my relationship wasn't where it should have been at the time. But and I think about the tragedy and our crash that happened, and shame on me for taking this horrible tragedy to open my eyes to God and His importance-ness in my life.
Yeah. Would you be willing to share with us, tell us about the crash, about what happened, and tell us what was lost that day? Can you share about the crash with us?
Our youngest son, Jackson, was 1 year, just turning 1. And Grandma and Grandpa were in Cheyenne, so we went up to Grandma and Grandpa's house for his first birthday party. And a couple miles prior to getting there, our family was hit by a drunk driver. They called the Greeley Highway. It's Highway 185, I think, is Central Avenue. It was the specific. But anyway, the arrow turned green. My wife was driving. We turned left, and the guy that hit us he ran through 2 red lights and never even hit the brakes. So he's probably going about 60 and a 40. So my wife I to this day don't know what she saw or what she knew or what she felt, but it happened quickly, and she was killed immediately or at the crash. And then I had a traumatic brain injury and a shattered jaw. So I was hospitalized in Cheyenne for a month. And then my sister squawked that I needed better care, and so they moved me to Craig Hospital in Denver. And I was in Craig Hospital for another 4 months.
Yeah.
Relearning to walk and talk. And then once I had teeth and a couple of jaw surgeries, I'd relearn to talk again with teeth. So it's...
Yeah.
And my brain will continue to heal for the rest of my life. And That's a trump card I play in myself when I'm frustrated with things.
Yeah.
That I will eventually get better at things that are challenges for me now.
Sure. Yeah. You know, you shared with me, and I was able to learn in a new way that every traumatic brain injury is different. You know, there's not a set pattern for the impact of a brain injury or its course for healing. And so, what were some of the impacts for your particular injury that you've had to walk through in your recovery?
I was nervous about raising kids with a brain injury by myself and no partner, and I was quite pessimistic that who's going to want a brain-injured guy, for starters, with a couple of kids who doesn't have a mom, and it just seemed like I wasn't in a very good situation, and I was feeling alone, emotionally and spiritually a little bit. And what I often heard after the crash was, this is part of God's plan, this is part of God's plan. I thought, wow, this plan sucks.
Yeah.
and it's still taking some time to wrap my head around and to learn that God has never left me, and He's always been there and is going to be there through this experience. But it did raise a whole lot of fear and a whole lot of doubt, and I had with a brain injury, you lose confidence in just about everything. You know, everything's hard, everything's new. I used to play pro sports, and walking up and down the stairs is nervous. It makes me nervous. Riding a bicycle made me nervous. Things that I used to do with my eyes closed all my life that were, it was easy. Now it's just the Andy 2 version is trying to negotiate things now.
Yeah. Everything changed that day. Everything changed. And I know there's still a grief observed with the loss of your wife, and your boys will never know their mother. You know, there's still difficulty and pain there, but tell me about how, in the midst of all of that, the challenge and the fear and the worry, I mean, raising kids is a fearful thing, a thing to enter into with fear and trembling, but boy, in those circumstances especially, tell me about how Jesus reached you.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to feel. I didn't have any confidence, and JJ, my wife, told me my brain. I would read the Bible out loud every morning to her. That's how we started our morning. And I read the Bible from front to back out loud, which is challenging if you try some of those names. but at any rate, it took me to a place more, where I realized that I can, with God's help, I can pull this off still.
Yeah.
And I wear a bracelet that my brother-in-law gave to me. It says, God's got this. And it's a reminder
God's got this.
That when I'm sad and I don't know what to do or how to feel, that that He's going to be with me. And whether I'm on stage speaking or I'm at the grocery store or somebody asks me about my wife or the story or whatever, God gives me strength to manage, and gives me, I know He doesn't make everything easy for us, but He's always going to be here to help me through.
Yeah.
And that gives me a lot of peace of mind.
I love it. Tell us about how you met JJ. Because that was one of your fears, one of your concerns was after the accident, you know, you thought you'd be alone. And why would anybody want a man with you described to me, a broken brain and trying to raise two young boys. Tell me about how you met JJ, because she was a big part of helping get your heart and your mind and your faith redirected upon Jesus.
JJ was living in Las Vegas, and she called me to sell me energy efficient windows.
The Lord works in mysterious ways. I just love it. I love it.
And my mom taught me always to be polite, and so I listened and was kind, and when she was done with her whole spiel, I explained to her, I said, you know, unless you're giving them away, can't afford anything. Well, what's your wife do? And so I had to explain that my wife had recently been killed in this tragic accident. Now I've got this 1 and 2 year old boy in a brain injury. And anyway, so I thank you, but no thank you. Hang up. The phone rings 5 minutes later. She said, this is JJ. I'm calling you from the restroom. I'm not supposed to do this, but your story was so touching that I want to, if that's okay, call you every now and then just to see how you and your boys are getting along. I thought, oh, okay. I mean, whatever floats your boat, if that, you know. And so, long story short, we talked for longer and longer, and we were hitting it off in lots of areas, and I invited her out and said, why don't you come meet my boys and me and Fort Collins, and as they say, the rest is history. She came out and loved it, and we started reading the Bible together. We picked a church, and then we were actually looking for more out of our church than we were getting, and she worked with, as you guys call her, honey. Her name is Hyun. She's usually at the top. And when she told JJ about LifePoint, JJ had confidence that you weren't in what she calls an itchy ear church. she was afraid that it's a big church, and every now and then churches have their own agenda. And she knew that Hyun wouldn't be a member of a church that was an itchy ear church. So we came here with confidence, knowing that you preach out of the Bible and how it relates to our daily lives. And we've been members for a long time now. I'm not sure how long.
Yeah. Well, I love.
But that's how I became a member at LifePoint.
Yeah. You and JJ were married in the backyard here by the dude.
Yes.
Like next to the dude.
Right next to the dude. Yeah.
Well, your former pastor. Yeah. Next to the dude there. And she works retail, so she often isn't able to be here on Sunday morning, but we wanted to have her picture here so you can say hello to her when you see her, when she is here.
Yeah, she has to almost work every Sunday, mm-hmm. though her only request was to have Sunday off. The only thing that she didn't get what she wanted was Sunday off. So we participate online, so we'll get to watch this together later today.
Good. I love the way God used her to help you see his faithfulness, even in the midst of some of what you had been through. And are there any other way? Can you share after the accident? You know, you read through scripture. You actually read, like you said, the whole Bible cover to cover out loud. And that helped with your brain recovery of helping to remap, you know, the neural pathways from your body to your brain. And what are some other ways that your life looked different and looks different now that you're trusting Jesus in a new way? You're depending on him more deeply now.
We talked about this a little bit, but and shame on me for taking this horrible tragedy to open my eyes to some of the things that I've been blessed with all my life. A hug from my boys is more meaningful. The flowers that have been in my front yard for the last 15 years are more beautiful than they used to be. I haven't done anything. All I do is now recognize and see things a little differently. And I'm taking that as a blessing after losing my wife and my child, you know, my children's mom and my coordination and everything that I've been blessed with. I felt like everything that I'd been blessed with was removed. And that was very hard and very frustrating. So I'm glad that there are things that I can celebrate that I didn't used to be able to celebrate.
Yeah, I love that. Seeing God's goodness in ways that you hadn't before. You didn't see before. You know, we talked about some of these scriptures that were read this morning. You know, you've gotten to see God's provision for you and been able to lean on that. I know you shared that after the accident, you had some fear, some anxiety about, you know, how are you going to have what you need? You're recovering from a traumatic brain injury. You got these young boys, but God has always provided for you since then, so many different ways.
You know, we went from 3 jobs to disability.
Yeah.
You know, my wife had a job, I had 2 coaching jobs, and with those 3 jobs, we were getting along okay, you know. So it was scary. And this community stepped up, and our friends and family, everybody comes through when, and, you know, that's God driven. I believe that.
He's worked in so many ways to provide for you and care for you. This year will mark 20 years since the accident. 20 years since everything changed. And, you know, we talked some about, you know, this verse from Romans, how God works all things together for good for those who love him. And that doesn't mean that you wish for things to go badly like they did for you.
Correct.
But it means that when they do go badly, you know he will work something for good in the midst of that. And you're living proof of that. I love it. I'm so grateful to get to know your story a little bit better, and for everyone here to get to know your story better. I want to give you a chance to share kind of 2 questions here to close our time. Are there any scriptures that in particular, I know this changes for you day by day, and that's part of the nature of your brain chemistry now is different things with memory. So, but are there any scriptures that are important to you that you want to highlight? And then also, is there any way that you hope hearing your story will either encourage or change people?
Before I answer right off the bat, one piece of advice that I can give you as a result of my experience is, this is if you have a partner, share with your partner what you want to have happen in the unlikely event that there's a tragedy occur. So, I still don't know if I did the right thing. And I prayed about it, and I had nobody to ask. We never talked about it. She's healthy, we're not even 40 yet. Why do we need to go there? I'm thinking, well, then the tragedy happens, and I don't even know if she wanted to be cremated or buried in the ground or in Cheyenne or in Fort Collins, and it was agonizing. Harder than you can understand, and I had no help, nobody offering me help. And I wish that we had just said, okay, let's just set aside a minute. This is what I want to happen if something were unlikely, you know, tragedy were to occur. Yeah. So anyway, that's the best advice I can give you in terms of practicality, regular stuff. In terms of, there isn't a specific verse right now that I'm hanging on to other than knowing that I'm not on this journey by myself.
Yeah, I love that. You know, one of the ways that one of the bits of good that God has worked through what you've gone through and how you depend on him now, I got to personally experience. You gave me this cross that you made after I basically stubbed my toe. I had a very minor bike accident and messed up a tooth in my face a little bit. And you very graciously came and said, I've been there a little. And then you described not having any teeth and having your jaw reconstructed. And I was like, this is nothing alike. You've gone through so much more than I have. But you made this in your wood shop. And you told me about how, as you were making it, you prayed for me and prayed for my recovery. And then, you know, I've since learned that you took up woodworking because after the accident, you knew that if you didn't have something for your hands to do, that you could very likely turn to the bottle. You could turn to things that would destroy your life in the aftermath of that. But one of the blessings that God gave you is he revealed gifts you didn't know you had, like woodworking. And so I just want to thank you for your love and encouragement and prayers. And I'm grateful for how God is working in you. It was such an encouragement to me to know you've been praying for me by sharing this new gift that God revealed to you in the aftermath of this. You spend a lot of time in your wood shop now. You built the dude on the tree you see there in the picture. And if it's all right, I'd love to pray for you now.
I like that. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I lift up my friend, my brother Andy, and thank you for the ways that you have worked for good in his life. You have drawn him to yourself. You have shown yourself faithful even in the aftermath of unimaginable tragedy and difficulty. I pray for your blessing upon him. I pray that you continue to heal him, and I pray for his boys and his family, that you would continue to walk with them through these stages of grief that they now walk in. I pray that they would see your goodness and grace at every turn. I pray that you would provide Andy opportunities to continue to glorify you, even after what he's been through, to tell the story of how you are faithful, how God's got this. I pray that you would help people, as they hear his story, turn away from poor decisions like driving under the influence. Turn away from poor decisions like depending on ourselves instead of leaning on you. Help us to turn to you. And Lord, I pray that for us, when it looks hopeless, that we could remember your faithfulness to Andy and turn to you in trust. So Lord, bless Andy, bless his family now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes LifePoint Church's podcast. For more information about our church, visit sharethelife.org.